swim at Circa Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company.
There we go. Thursday show, Cofield and Company. Pretty much poolside in the cabanas. 100 plus today. This is pool season's officially here. The big melt for the next 3 months. But everyone out there and everyone here, well, not everyone out there, but most of you are used to it. So I welcome it. One of the earliest we've ever hit 110, I think, coming up today or tomorrow.
We didn't get there yesterday. It was supposed to be the earliest. It was yesterday.
Yeah. Was it? Did it hit 110 yesterday?
I thought it did. It felt like it.
Did it? I don't even notice it. Adam Hill is here. Mateo is helping out. NBA Finals on ESPN Las Vegas. And here on the big screen at Stadium Swim. 143-foot screen. If you're watching our live video that we're rolling right now on Twitter, Steve Cofield, and Facebook up at ESPN Las Vegas, you can see how big that screen is. I think it's going to be awesome tonight. I expect a good series. Curtis Terry is going to join us, the former Rebel, former professional basketball player. His bro, Jason Terry, was in the NBA and is around the NBA still. So we'll get his takes on what's going to happen with the Mavs and the Celtics. And we got a big NBA story that, frankly, might be overshadowing it most of the day. Lakers now reversing or changing course on who they're going to hire as a coach. So I tell you, every day I come in fired up because I'm tracking social media all the time for different sports topics. There's so many places to go to now. And I have chilled on the A's and for now I've chilled on the A's management and what they're trying to do here in Vegas and the money and the stadium deal and all that. And I've also become very comfortable with the A's fans, Adam, being mad at us in Vegas.
Sure.
Which, if we could just talk to them individually, I know what I would say. What would you say about us stealing the A's?
Keep them?
Yes. Like, do you understand that a lot of us on the ground, and I'll look right at the cat, like, we don't want your team. We didn't make this decision. We want a good baseball team with a good owner. We didn't do this, okay? But you constantly get little shots at Vegas, and I saw last night the latest one is A's fans are like, oh, it's going to be 109 there. How are the A's going to play? The stadium they're building, if they do it, we both believe that it's on shaky ground, is going to have a roof and going to have doors. It is going to have air conditioning. They're not outside in 109. And I'll go above and beyond that. Well, before I do that, yesterday I saw someone do that. They're like, 106 or 109 today. And yesterday I wrote, I just put 106. Yeah, just to tweak a little bit, right? Your style. Not 109, 106. And then the person melted down. Some other guy from Vegas chimed in and said, well, we're not puts blanks, right? We can handle the heat. And then it just turned into something about stealing someone's woman and gambling and all that.
That adds up.
Oh, it always does. People get frustrated. You understand. I can't do this enough times. It is a dry heat. Well, it is hot at 110, 114, 116 can be hot. One, your A's aren't playing outside. Two, no one believes us when we say it. When I go to the South or the Northeast, and I don't go to the Midwest much, but when there's humidity, it's a living hell. I feel like I'm going to die.
Yeah.
You get used to the weather, and I'll remind you again, we're not the ones who made the decision to bring your team here. So taking shots at us is unnecessary. We're actually on your side.
I'll even say this. Me and my friends were discussing a trip that we're taking next month, and somebody was like, oh, it's only like 88 degrees there. And I said, with 100% humidity, that's going to feel like 120. Like, it's way worse.
If that's Mexico, unless you're right near the water,
yeah,
it gets a little steamy a few miles inland.
Yeah, yes. No kidding.
Yes.
Like, yes, it's worse.
So chillax, please. We're not trying to take your team. And I don't care. You want to take shots at our weather, that's fine. I like it here, so I'm used to it. You get used to it. Frankly, we have pools right near us here at Stadium Swim. If I could do the show in the pool, and maybe we'll set that up. We've had bad experiences with that. I think we had a drunk issue. I won't drink while I do the show. But if I could be in there and not electrocute myself, I'd be in there the whole show.
Yeah.
With this sexy upper torso and my old face and balding head all exposed. I put sunscreen on.
My mistake. I'm burned to heck right now.
Because you don't put sunscreen
on. From OTAs, right, because you forget.
I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny.
1,000 degrees out there.
Yeah, I don't forget. Man, it's weird.
I do.
You're an adult. I don't forget. But you do.
You forget that you're going to be standing outside is the thing.
They don't have. They haven't set up shade for you guys the new regime?
Well, here's the thing. They do. They have it.
Yeah.
Everybody else is in the shade. But
you're trying to be a tough guy?
Well, no. You know what they're working on right now.
What are they working on?
Kickoffs.
Okay.
So I'm out. I'm out as close to the action as I can be. Just really locked in. And everybody's kind of laughing. Like, what are you doing?
Are you tracking hang kickoffs. Time? And if you're underneath the cover, you're like, I can't see the balls. Max height.
I'm tracking angles. I'm tracking the other day I was very caught up on the blocking schemes and what they're working on the blocking. So I had to really be at a different angle from everybody else. So I was out in the sun and everybody else is under the shade. And then, yeah, at the end of the practice, I was like, oh, man, really burnt. But, yes, that is an issue. But if you're, as you said, an adult, like, you do that. And most of the time you're finding ways to be in air conditioning inside. Like, stop. Don't criticize Vegas as, oh, the heat in Vegas. Shut up. The traffic in Oakland. Oh, yeah, they understand. There's traffic.
I mean, for the players, I hate to tell you, the real hellhole is about right now for the next 3 months where you're going to be playing in Sacramento. Sacramento, weather-wise,
sucks.
Can be a bear.
It is.
And you know what breeze you get off of that little stream that runs through the city? There ain't much.
No.
It is dank there.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hot there. And that's outside in a minor league stadium that pales in comparison to what we got here. So
correct.
We'll get to more of this at 4:20 because we didn't get Adam's reaction to the 10% home road games at the A's.
Our A's are in action right now on the big screen here at Circa.
They have
0 runs in the ninth inning.
You're going to pile on them, okay. Not the A's, our A's by saying that. To any Oakland fans who see this now or later, listen to it now or later. So NBA Finals Day, we finally have it here on a Thursday. It's game one. We got the Mavs. We got the Celtics. There's tons of storylines. We're going to get to them here in less than 8 minutes with Curtis Terry. But I got to tell you, the Lakers stuff today is fascinating because I don't know what's going on. It comes out this morning that after the last couple of days, who was that, Shams, who said, hey, real close, finalizing, J.J. Redick. Either that was erroneous, which I don't think it was, or something's happened here where they've had conversations with Dan Hurley, arguably the best young college basketball coach in the country. Dan Hurley to the Lakers? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I saw this shaped as, and you're kind of pointing it out as, like, woes for Shams. Shams said he was the leading candidate. I think he was. Until somebody said, hey, would Dan Hurley be interested? And nobody has said Dan Hurley's interested. The report is that they are preparing a massive offer
to try
to lure him.
The New York Post had a story today, and so they have confirmed that Dan Hurley is interested.
Okay.
The New York Post also had the headline, like, shocking development, and then when you read the story, that was the headline, you read the story, it says they've had conversations with Hurley prior. He's been on the list since the beginning of the process.
Sure, and he should be, because what he should be doing is calling UConn and saying, big offer's coming. What's coming from you? That's what he should be doing. Every coach in the country should be.
Any leverage you have, use it.
And we saw this, and it was, you know, 20 years ago, the same thing happened with Krzyzewski at Duke when Kobe wanted him to come be the coach at the Lakers. So, look, I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm not surprised that the Lakers are interested. I'm not surprised that Dan Hurley is at least saying he's interested. We'll see how it all develops. You know, it's different to be interested and to get an offer and to actually accept it and make the move.
NBA Finals predictions on the way from Curtis Terry. Also, his reaction to Hurley or Redick. I'm not so sure that I actually like Hurley over Redick.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
All right, rolling on. Let's get into the NBA Finals, get into the latest news with the Lakers, or at least rumors with the Lakers. Curtis Terry is up with us. Curtis.
What's going on, fellas? How you doing today? We're good, man.
We're at Poolside Stadium Swim. It's about 108. Are you in town or are you up in the Pacific Northwest?
No, I'm not in town. I had to escape the heat for a little bit.
Come on. When you have an option to escape the heat, I guess you do it. All right, well, let's get into it. First, before the NBA Finals and a little bit of UNLV basketball, got to get your Insta reaction on now Dan Hurley, UConn coach, potentially in the mix for the Lakers job.
I mean, personally, obviously, I think we're back after they won the championship for the second time back-to-back. Ron comes out and tweets how he loves Dan Hurley, his staff, how their creativity on offense and everything they do in terms of giving guys a lot of looks and the flow that they play with offensively. So obviously you can read into that, and I think whatever thing that LeBron does is kind of premeditated. There's a method to the madness, but I like it. I think it would be good for him. I like it more than the J.J. Redick route, which obviously has been gaining a lot of traction. I what he can do in terms of creativity, offense, but also just be able to put them in a position to not be, but just to put them in a position to be able to compete and connect with that younger generation. I like it for him. Obviously, they're going to have to pay him a boatload of money. He's got a small buyout, though, in comparison. I mean, for NBA teams, I think it's about $2 million is his buyout over at UConn. So I think it's going to be an opportunity for him to take that leap, and there's probably no better time to do it than now. You'll have expectations, but I don't think they'll be as high as they were, say, if it was a couple years ago, which is LeBron toward the back end of his career.
Does Dan Hurley's personality work in the NBA?
Yes, I think so. I think he's a no BS kind of coach. Obviously, I think he's a player's coach, but I think he commands respect in what he's done and how he's been raised. Obviously, just being the son of a coach, but just his resume speaks for itself. So I think he'll be able to walk into the NBA locker room and just be able to command that attention. Because I think what he's done the last 2 years at UConn, winning back-to-back national championships, I think that just says a lot about who he is, how he operates day to day. I think he'll be able to command the attention of the locker room very quickly, just from my opinion.
What does it do for UConn?
Well, I mean, if he goes, obviously UConn's going to be screwed at this stage of the game, this late in the process, with obviously with school being out now and they're heading into the summer. But even if not, if he doesn't go, I mean, it's kind of like when Coach K was looking at the Lakers years ago, and I think they said today it was like the 20-year anniversary when that was potentially going to happen. But I think it's going to give them a higher profile. Obviously, they're going to gain a lot of attention and notoriety. But just in terms of recruiting, just to be able to go into, I think, a kid's home and with his parents and say that he was, you know what I mean, going to coach the Lakers, but why he didn't, if he does not go, I think those are all good selling points and talking points. Not that he needs any more help in terms of what he's done over at UConn, but I think it's definitely going to be helpful for them if he explores this but doesn't go. But if he leaves, obviously, I think it's going to set UConn back a bit.
So to go back to Dan Hurley in a match for the NBA and specifically a match with the Lakers, I don't think it works. I think Hurley is way too immature. I think he coaches like a hard ass. I don't know that he'll be able to make the immediate adjustment to the NBA. And, you know, some of the stuff he was doing where he was, like, threatening to fight fans, bruh, this ain't stores. Like, and this ain't the Big East. That sort of lack of discipline ain't going to work in the NBA. So there's a lot of layers there. Just on his maturity and his approach to coaching where he's a hard ass, that's going to work with NBA players?
I think he's going to have to see. He'll have to figure it out. Obviously, he's not going to jump in and have a success right away, I don't think. But I think he would be able to figure it out. I think it's a different breed of NBA players these days, obviously, than what it was like 10, 15 years ago. I think these guys, he's going to be able to relate to these guys. But I think it would work. Obviously, being in LA and in that market, that's going to bring in the challenge of itself. But I think he can do it. And I think even though he's his immaturity or kind of argue with people or kind of fight fans, I think that's just that his competitive nature. He's kind of a no BS kind of a guy. But I think that's a different aspect and type of coach than what you have currently in the NBA. And these days, I think it's anything's up for grabs. I mean, if you're going to say that you're going to throw in J.J. Redick right there, I think he's going to be more successful than J.J. Redick would be right away. Just from a pure coaching standpoint and just being able to have coach and have that experience, I don't care if it's Pee-wee basketball, high school, I don't care what it is. I think that's where his strong suit is going to be. But we'll see what's going to happen. But I think him having LeBron, obviously, that's going to help. But again, I don't think the expectations are going to be so astronomical these next 2 years that you have LeBron that's going to make that much of an impact. But he'll be able to figure it out, get younger guys in there, and kind of rebuild the Lakers into what they should be.
Curtis Terry, the former Rebel, is with us. He helps us as an NBA insider. All right, last couple things with the Lakers and Hurley. Is this real? Is this just a negotiating ploy? Hey, from the Lakers standpoint, let's get someone else involved. Also from an in the search, right? So that JJ's not coming in here going, you know what, I want $20 million a year. I don't know what he's asked for. I don't know if it hit the skids on the negotiations. And the other part of this, is it also a work by the Lakers to say, hey, LeBron doesn't get to pick the coach. We like this guy Hurley.
Yeah, man. I mean, well, that's the report that came out, right? LeBron wasn't going to have any say in kind of who the coach was. I don't believe that one bit. I don't think anybody really does. But it could be just a negotiating tactic. I think it's interesting to, if you're going to bring in J.J. Redick and have him be the head coach of the Lakers. I think it's interesting in terms of, like, if you talk about how much we're going to pay this guy in salary and things from that such. Because again, you've got guys that, I mean, Ty Lue just got a huge pay raise. Obviously, Monty Williams makes a ton of money for the Pistons. Coach Pop and what he does, but it's a unique situation. But I think he is the type of guy that you could get that could make a splash and could command a lot of respect right away. But I think it's really that window of what the Lakers think they're going to be able to do with LeBron. How much longer is he going to be around? And kind of turning that thing over moving forward with Anthony Davis and whoever you kind of bring into the post-LeBron era of the Lakers to rebuild this thing.
I know these things happen. It's just part of, you know, the landscape of sports right now. But what are you thinking if you're Alex Caravan? That's the first name that came to my mind today as somebody who would have been a high pick, was in the draft process. I'm sure Hurley was trying to re-recruit him back to UConn. And the other day he's like, yeah, you know what? It's the deadline. I'm going back to school. That's what's going to happen. And now all of a sudden, Hurley's like, I'm out. So I'll see you later.
I think that's where, if he does leave, I think UConn is screwed. It's just going to be, who are you going to slide in? You're obviously not going to have the same continuity. You probably have to bring somebody from on staff and just elevate them to the head coach to try to keep some of that continuity intact. But yeah, for those players, I mean, you think you're going to come back and try to win a third national championship in a row? The recruits, the guys that you're going to be bringing in, I mean, how does that all impact everything? So again, I think it's more so than just a negotiating tactic that this is going to happen this late in the process. So I think there's definitely some light to it. But to what degree, I think we're going to find out in the next couple of weeks with the finals kicking off. I think this is going to be something to keep an eye on, kind of in the background.
NBA Finals Game 1 is coming up 5:30 up on the big screen here, 143-foot screen at Stadium Swim Circle Las Vegas. CT is on the horn with us. All right, talking about this series, is there actually any pressure, aside from like normal NBA Finals pressure, hey, we want to win, is there any extra pressure on any individual player? Like, you better get it done and win a title.
I think if anybody's going to pick a person out that's going to be in that position, it's going to be Jason Tatum and just the Celtics in general because of them having been there multiple times, obviously being in, I think they've been in the conference finals five times in the last 7 years or something like that. I haven't been in the finals 2 years ago. Not getting there last year, and just the team that they have and how they built this thing. Clearly, they've been the best team all season in the course of the NBA. But I think you're you say if you don't get it now, like, are you going to ever be able to get it? Because everybody else is just getting better and better. With that said, I don't think they get it done. I like Luka, Kyrie, and the Mavericks in this one.
Well, you did say a few weeks ago how much you respected Luka and his game and offensively on the Celtics side. You want Porzingis in there, like, for a lot of minutes? Because if he ain't 100%, then, you know, having him as a stretch guy on offense, okay. But on defense, I don't know. If he's not 100%, can't move, isn't he a liability?
I think so. And I think that's where the Celtics can have some struggles. Obviously, in comparison to the bigs for the Mavericks with Daniel Gafford, with Rick Lively, agile, athletic guys, as opposed to Porzingis and Al Horford. If you delay, the Mavericks can go pick and roll, obviously, with Kyrie, with Luka, to get the switches. We saw what Luka did, to Carlos and counter Rudy Gobert from the Timberwolves. And so I think he's going to have even more success against less athletic, older guys. I mean, Al Horford for sure, and Porzingis coming off injury to be able to create ISO one-on-one basketball. And that's when he is so good because he creates so many opportunities, not just for himself, but for his teammates. And I think that's where the Mavericks have really shined the brightest this postseason. Is their role players. They've had guys that are stepping up, knocking down shots. P.J. Washington, obviously former runner rebel Derrick Jones Jr., Tim Hardaway Jr., and just what they've been able to do in terms of the other guys being able to step up and knock down shots and make and take some of that pressure off the big two for the next key moments. I think that's what the difference is. So if Porzingis can't slide his feet, can't guard, and I know Al Horford's not going to be able to do it, I think that's where they're going to have some trouble.
Hey, one last point on this time on UNLV basketball. As we're talking to Curtis Terry, who played for the Rebels, one of the voices of the Rebels. You better get back here soon because the Rebels are going to be on the floor working out for at least the summer session, and I'm sure you're excited to see how this mix looks.
Oh, yeah. I think summer school starts for these guys, next week. I think Monday the 10th or something like that. But the guys are all coming into town now. Obviously, you can see it on social media when guys are making their way. But it's an exciting time for Rebel basketball fans, I think. Obviously, the way the season ended with Coach Kruger and his staff being able to get the guys to the NIT and having a chance to play multiple games and to continue building this thing. But it's always fun when you have this transition of out with the old and kind of in with the new, but they're being able to build on this thing from what they've done last year as opposed to a total rebuild the last 2 or 3 years. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see these guys come in here, start to put in the work, and kind of see how this roster forms. Because, again, not a lot of people outside or exteriorly are having rave reviews about it. But if you really kind of know what this team is trying to do and what they can do with DJ Thomas at the point and just how they're trying to play, I think it's going to be a team that can come together. But it's all going to start here in the summer before you get – where you get back to school in August, and the season comes around in the fall.
All right, Curtis, get back here soon. Enjoy the cooler weather. We'll see you, buddy.
Well, sounds good, guys. Take care.
There he is, Curtis Terry, on the way back. Listen, I think I'm going to sweat about 4 pounds off today, and I like that. That's why as a chubbo, I like the heat. I want to find out, is it the Zemp? Like, what the hell's going on with Tua? Do you see his face? Who is that?
Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
Got a voice on you.
There's been times where I've called a restaurant. I ordered food and there's like a problem. I call them like, hey, what's going on with this? Like this orders didn't come out right. And the guy's like, hey.
Andre the Giant's on the phone.
And I get, I ordered it. You did not bring it to me. Bring me the sandwich. I want the whole sandwich. I want my sun chips. I own the song chips.
All right. One of your top 10, check that, 13 and a half comedians you named the other day. We'll go through a lot of the list, play a lot of audio in the Summer of Laughs. We're just naming it now. We'll have to come up with a creative name. But Adam had his, he was asked by a listener, whatever you guys want, we give you.
Sure.
I had someone who made a blanket complaint that basically everyone on the market when it comes to UNLV asked for no accountability with UNLV Sports. And it actually was someone jumping in on a San Diego radio conversation where Borna Nazari, who comes on with us every once in a while, was a podcaster there. He was saying that the stations down there are kind of wimpy on the Padres. And I said, you know, I responded, I'm like, hey, no one kind of holds the feet to the fire? And then a bunch of Padres fans jumped in, which we'll talk about another day. But then someone jumped in locally and they're like, well, we're waiting for the accountability for anyone here on UNLV, and I was like, Tyler Bischoff, Ed Graney, Adam, and who else did I name? I forget. Someone else. And I'm like, Candy? I'm like, they don't hold. I'm not going to include myself. I'm not going to be, you know, freaking pat on the back guy. But the person was like, yeah, I don't listen to Tyler and Ed. Well, I'm like, you're in a radio conversation. You don't listen to all the shows. But the person also said,
so nobody in the market.
Right, and that's what it was. Nobody, nobody in the market does anything.
Well, I don't listen to the second best show in the market.
So then there was something about apathy in coverage, which we can address. We'll have a conversation about that, and I forget what the other point was. Something else. You want some more coverage? I tell people all the time, if you ask, you probably will receive. Now, I will still receive the vinegar and probably gulp it and give you what you want, but if you do it with honey, we'll do it as well. But either way, listen, we're not going to change the entire show to please everyone who tweets at us, but yeah, Kevin Kruger's going to come on Monday, and we're working on we'll have a football coach on every week. Usually we kind of re-up things in June, so we're here, and we'll get ready for the football season. So, that was Dan Soder coming back.
That was, by the way, that was his second – I think that's his second best wrestler impression.
That was amazing. He was doing some podcast in front of a – no, that was a different one. Some doing a – anyway, he starts doing Andre the Giant. I was like, holy crap, this is great.
His Macho Man is, like, off the charts.
No, man. I always blank on who's the other fat guy who does a bunch of wrestlers. He does Jesse Ventura. He does Hogan. And Soder's not fat, but there's a heavier set comedian. Will, is it?
Will Sasso?
Yeah.
Sure.
So he's good on wrestlers. He was doing Macho Man. I saw in a quick video.
Soder's Macho Man is very impressive. And it also ties into what we're going to talk about. Soder does. Some strong connections. Obviously, he's marrying Katie Nolan, a famous broadcaster. But his childhood best friend is Mike McDaniel. the head coach of the Dolphins. And he's
him
always,
too?
He's always around the Dolphins.
How is McDaniels like 6 degrees of separation all like 1 degree?
I know.
I swear everyone knows him.
Yeah. So
was Soder a Yale guy?
No. Just his childhood. His childhood best friend.
Like Maryland?
In Aurora, Colorado.
Oh, not even close. Aurora, yeah. Colorado. Okay.
McDaniel was a ball boy for the Broncos. That was his job. And McDaniel, they were best friends. They would like, sleep in each other's house, that sort of thing. And he still goes to a lot of the games. He's actually done a lot of interviews about, like, hey, this is what it's like playing Madden with Mike McDaniel when you're a kid. And then he like beat you with strategy. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, he's the smartest guy in football.
Yeah, NFL head coach.
That's crazy. But he still goes to a lot of games, like flies out with, you know, with McDaniel. They're super tight. So that's a pretty strong connection in the sports world for sure.
Okay. Well, we'll feature at times some quickie hits from your top 13 sure. and a half comedians that you named and some others that I like. It's not just going to be your choice. It's Cofield and company.
My choice.
You know what? I teased Skinny Tua. I don't know if I should be concerned, but he's another one of these guys. You see him come back and he's lost weight, and you're like, who is that? You don't realize how much fat is on the face of chubby people. It is amazing. Thin Tua is almost kind of creepy. We'll come back. Speaking of creepy, some of the conversations going on right now on First Take, and the ladies who are guests there and Stephen A. are getting really weird, and we're going to bring in Xavier Pope to give us his take on that and much more, including the NBA Finals.
Lawyer and host of Suit Up News, Xavier Pope, joins Cofield and Company now.
We've got earth-shattering news to break down. Not break, because it's already out there. Xavier Pope is up with us. This is not real, Xavier, is it? Dr. Pepper has actually surpassed Pepsi as the second most popular soft drink?
Fake news, Steve. Who's drinking Dr. Pepper? Come on. Dr. Pepper is one of the worst sodas out there. I'm sorry. I don't see who's drinking it.
I like it, and I've always liked it. It'd be about my fifth choice, but I don't know how the hell it's outselling Pepsi.
Well, I would make the claim, and I don't know if it includes this, and Dave, you've probably read more than I have. I don't know, but I would say Diet Dr. Pepper is far superior than the other diet sodas.
Is it really?
Helps. Oh, yeah.
Xavier, have you ever heard of that?
I don't know. I mean, I've had it before, but I'm not like jumping over up and down over like that little character, Mr. Sweet, Little Sweet, whatever his name is. But
I love Little Sweet.
A Little Sweet. I mean, but Dr. Pepper is really popular in the South, so I'm thinking that that's probably contributing to maybe its overall popularity as a soda. It's extremely popular out there.
Okay, I'm gonna throw myself out here on the plank. Is it good in drinks? Is that what it? Because I'm not a mixed drink guy. Is Diet Dr. Pepper in drinks? No?
I don't think so.
Hey, I don't understand how it's getting this edge.
Dr. Pepper, a universal word for cola or Coke in the South is Coke. And they also use interchangeably Dr. Pepper as well. Hmm. So it's that popular, people are either saying, hey, I want a Coke, or hey, I want a Dr. Pepper.
Okay, well. I mean, it's popular in food, too. I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know what the hell's going on here. All right, let's try to diagnose this. This is I think this has a lot of layers. First of all, what do you think of the back and forth between Stephen A. Smith and Monica McNutt on the WNBA coverage, Caitlin Clark? And Stephen A. got really worked up, and I thought that Molly Karam was going to have a coronary live on TV.
Yeah, I think that Stephen A. Smith has a giant ego, and I think that someone showing him up, particularly a woman, was something that he took personally. And he tried to take credit for putting black women in positions of broadcasting. And, hey, you know, did you know who she was before First Take? And
They both went right onto a podcast, his own, and McNutt went on with Shannon and Chad Johnson, and I thought she was pretty good. But then when I saw this whole thing about basically building up and giving black women a chance, I'm like, Stephen, hey, what, like, I don't know, man. He's had a lot of weird behavior lately. Is something wrong with him?
I don't think there's anything wrong with him. I just think that he has a pretty large ego, and he feels as if he is bigger than other people at the network. I mean, he gets paid like it, and so he's acting like it. And so I don't think that's not surprising to me in terms of how he's displayed himself in the past with his voice.
Interesting, because I think he's opened himself up to pretty much any woman who is on there now, it won't be Molly because I think Molly is worried about her job, and she probably should be because he's gotten rid of other people. I think any woman they bring on there now can really go at him. The one I'd really like to see go at him because I think she's also got an ego and, hey, good, man, it works on TV, is I would love for him to try to do that to Kimberly A. Martin, and let's see what happens, and let's see what happens if it goes viral and then he's got a whole army against him.
Yeah, I think I don't think that Stephen A. Smith, I think you see the response. I think he's going to probably back down from now. Because I think it's starting to pile on, and other black women journalists are saying, hey, what are you doing? And they're supporting Monica McNutt. He's on the losing end of this battle. I don't think he's going to continue on now on this path and try to debate another black woman over the issue. I doubt it. I just think this is a losing issue for Stephen A.
I'll also point out, like he said, had anybody heard of Andrea Carter, who is absolutely a rising star? She's going to be a superstar in this business. I didn't know she was on the show.
Kimberly Martin, too, by the way. Yeah. I know that Steve has brought her up, but he also mentioned her as well.
Yeah, but I'm saying I didn't even know she was ever on First Take. I saw her on tournament coverage.
I mean, whoever he feels like he's made, he's throwing names out there. That's what it looks like to me.
So. Adam, you sent – I want you to introduce this one, Adam. You sent over – how did you phrase the issues with the sky in D.C.? You said crazy person meets sky at hotel to confront Kennedy Carter. Have you seen the follow-up on this?
What follow-up? There's a video that started at the end before the actual incident happened.
Okay.
But, yeah, the players are talking about just the crazy person and somebody approaching them. I mean, we can assume what the person's intent was. I'm sure a Caitlin Clark stan who was coming after her.
It was a TMZ-like videographer asking questions.
Okay.
I mean, what do you get out of this, Xavier? Because when I saw them tweeting about it, I'm like, I don't know if this really happened the way they're reporting it.
I mean, it may not necessarily have happened the way that guy probably intended either, to jump in their faces. I mean, TMZ, what actual outlet was he from? Was it some just random blogger taking photos? Or was he just someone who is pretending to be someone? Or is he someone, you know, who is the guy? I mean, so I think it's worth giving what we've seen in our society in terms of, we saw in the women's basketball tournament, there were women that were threatened in Idaho. So it's not out of bounds that stuff could happen to women in sports, especially with a charged topic and a society that's become increasingly more openly violent when people taking their things online to offline.
It's also a convenient thing to say if you approach or, you know, swarm somebody like, I'm a videographer. Are you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's worthy for people to be not comfortable with their safety in situations like people that are running up on them, particularly if you don't know where they're coming from, what outlet they may belong to.
I'll reserve judgment. Let's see what comes out of that one. One that I don't know that I want to reserve judgment on, and I wasn't, is Alex Jones. And the video with him the other day, crying and having a breakdown about potentially losing everything. I mean, I assume that crying was fake, but he's in real jeopardy here, is he not?
He is, but he has 14 days to pony up, or he's going to lose his ranch. And I hope no one felt sorry for those tears. I don't care. Even if they were the most real, authentic tears possible, so what? You know, I'm not here to put Pat Cash judgment on the guy, but he's been a terrible human being to the members of that family, Sandy Hook, and continue to be a complete jackass after that, walking on the Capitol. Like, he's the worst type of human being. His fall is, there are many people who are happy to see it, and I'm definitely not shedding a tear for him.
We've never had the platform or developed anything like he has, but the way he did it was blood money, you know, is monetizing freaking tragedy. And he had a ruling against him, you know, defamatory. You got to pay up, and he'll be able to reinvent himself. But for now, you're going to have he should be knocked down to zero, and people should get some compensation. So I defend almost every broadcaster, but there is a responsibility with these microphones.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's why there is a standard of defamation, right? When you go to a certain place where you know what you're talking about is false and you know you're doing it to intentionally harm other people, then you are taking it to a place where the law acknowledges that people are harmed and they are damaged, you pay for that. And so that's what happened in the case, and he has to pay up, and he only has 14 short days to make it happen, regardless of what his tears of shit.
NBA Finals on the way. We're here at Circa Las Vegas Stadium Swim. We got the 143-foot screen. We're going to go to the game at 5:30. Xavier, who do you have, Mavs or Celtics?
I don't know. This is a toss-up for me. I mean, the Celtics have been knocking on the door for several years with their two stars, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and their supporting cast, regardless of whether they've had a coach come in and out. But that team seems poised to win a championship, the 18th. That would surpass the Los Angeles Lakers for the most titles in the National Basketball Association. But then you have Kyrie, who has experience in hitting a game-winning shot in Game 7 of the Finals. You have a surging star, Luka, who's been first NBA All-Team for 6 years, starting his career. And so those two guys together and with some critical role pieces. With Jason Kidd, who doesn't get enough credit for his coaching job with that team, certainly stands a chance, even though they're underdogs in the series, to go ahead and win it. So it's a toss-up for me, Steve.
Who would you bet to win MVP in the series?
I'm going with Luka or Jaylen Brown in this series. I think that you definitely need you may see a transcendent Jason Tatum in this series, but at the end of the day, the Celtics don't win without the contribution of Jaylen Brown stepping up and showing the type of top level star that he can show and has shown to be. But you also have a Luka who is now getting healthier as the playoffs have gone along. He's going to come through and maybe have a historical performance in the NBA Finals.
The ability of people to rebound and make comebacks from pretty far down, it's pretty amazing in the sports world. And think about this one. Kyrie Irving actually could be a sympathetic choice, as if he has a really good series, a sympathetic choice for the voters to give him MVP, which is amazing considering where he was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, just a few short years ago, I mean, he was flat earther, the Black Hebrew Israelites video that he shared and then doubled down on, the COVID stuff. I mean, he was seen as a pariah at some point in the league, and people thought maybe he wouldn't return to this level of stardom ever again, and it's almost as if it's never happened. And then also you have to consider the background of Boston teams wanting to root against that team. Even though there are different characters than, say, maybe the 80s that people have grown up watching. But want to see him go get revenge against that crowd that have been pretty unceremonious to him when he's returned there. So I'm intrigued about the response that Kyrie gets when he comes back to Boston and what type of reception he'll get. Will those fans show they may be classy enough as this NBA final start, or will they rain down at him and try to intimidate him? And that's something that's not going to bother him, but it's interesting to see whether that happens in the game.
Right now here at Circa Sports, the sportsbook at Circa Las Vegas, Kyrie is 18-1 to win the MVP. Other big NBA story to hit with Xavier Pope is J.J. Redick or Dan Hurley as the Lakers' next head coach. Who would you pick?
I wouldn't pick either one of them, to be frank, Steve. I think that coming off a podcast, he sounded pretty great with LeBron James, shouldn't be the stepping stone for a head coaching job with a marquee franchise in the National Basketball Association. That's out for J.J. Redick. For Dan Hurley, we haven't seen really a guy come straight from the college ranks directly to a veteran team and have that be successful. So that's what I'm reticent about that and talk about money they throw at him. And so I think that there were probably some better candidates they should have gotten that may have been helpful for this Lakers team where they are right now, not necessarily trying to set them up for the future with a coach that's untested, whether it's from the ranks of being in the league or the ranks of never coaching at all.
Xavier Pope up with Cofield and Company. Let's close on these two notes. Summer's coming. It's here. Weather's here. Here it's about 109 degrees outside at the pool.
Oh, wow.
Here at Circa. Oh, it's awesome. I know you've gone pretty much all meatless. I saw you looking into snake meat. Are you going to jump back in the meat game with a little snake meat?
Absolutely not, Steve. You know, I share a lot of interesting things in my time. I can be talking about a lot of different things. But I was reading an article in the Scientific American about sustainable meat sources, and it was about the fact that snakes, being cold-blooded animals, their ability to be able to reproduce in optimal conditions without all the emissions you're getting from cows. And so And there are many parts of the world that that is acceptable form of meat. Whether introducing that to the Western world, I severely doubt it. No one's going to be eating snake steak. Neither will I.
All right.
Have you eaten grasshoppers?
Oh, God.
No. Adam, you've eaten grasshoppers, man?
Yeah, we tried them.
In Cancun.
Chocolate covered? Or just straight up?
No, in the fried? It was grasshopper guacamole.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Crunchy. Crunchy.
Very crunchy.
All right. Last piece of advice. If I'm going to someone's cookout, and I actually am this Sunday, and I will go to more and I will have some, do I bring a four-pack of craft beer, which might be $20 now, or do I go whole hog and bring a 180-pack of PBR?
You got to go with the craft beer, man. You got to bring the craft beer. You got to look like a tasteful person, Steve. I've known you to be a more tasteful person as time's gone by. You got to step up and get the craft beer, man. Be the classy guy.
I did see you retweet someone making reference to a 4-pack of beers for $18, which is pretty amazing, though.
that's extremely amazing right now.
I'll say this, and I learned this one, which I always thought bottles were classier than cans.
Back.
But then I was told you can't bring bottles to somebody's house if you go there.
Is that right?
Why not?
Like, it's just a more difficult cleanup. You got bottles. You can just crush the cans down. It's easier to recycle them.
I like cans.
Bottles are a mess to try to deal with, and they said it's rude to bring bottles to somebody's house.
There you go. New rule.
Huh? New rule. I did not know that. Yep. Thanks for the etiquette on bottle, can, and people's houses, Adam.
Trust me, of all three of us here, Adam is Mr. Party and Mr. Attend Party, so he needs to have some etiquette.
I do.
All right, Xavier. Love you, buddy. We'll talk to you.
Love you guys.
There he is, Xavier Pope. I want the 180-pack. Here's the problem with the PBR 180-pack is it is a lower-grade beer, which I'm fine with, but you have to have the extra fridge, which you say is trash.
Just because it's trash doesn't mean you can't have it.
Right. Well, I have a second, and I actually have a mini third. And by the way, I found out the price of the PBR because we were looking for the price point. Because I figured you can get probably an 18 pack for about $14 here. The 180 pack is
$119.
No, cheaper.
Wow.
Well, at least I don't know about here. I haven't shopped for it yet. By the way, it is. I think it's 5 feet high. Like you have to have you have to have someone help you put it in the car, and then you need a hand truck.
It's like the size of a refrigerator.
It's a good size mini fridge. 180 pack for $95.
All right, I'm in.
That's a lot of PBR.
It's a lot of bad beer.
I don't think it's the worst, though. And honestly, it sasses me more because at our house, you know it ain't me. But at our house, someone in the house is the queen of buying the 4 craft pack for $18 and then takes a swig and she's like, I don't like it. And I'm like, there is a punishment when we hang out on the weekends. I'm like, yep, I'm going to drink that passion fruit or this really bad beer.